We begin our service this morning with the brief order for confession and forgiveness. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we're in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remain standing for our opening hymn, When Christmas Morn is Dawn. May be seated. We welcome all who've come this morning to worship with us. Your announcements are in the bulletin. Are there any other announcements that need to be made at this time? If not, we'll continue with the greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to this people on earth.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, you have filled us with the new light of the Word, who became flesh and lived among us. Let the light of our faith shine in all that we do, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first lesson is taken from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, beginning with the 7th verse. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud and with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for chiefs of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I'm going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them in the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor. Together a great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it to the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd, a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud from the heights of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain and the wine and the oil, over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
We'll read Psalm 147, beginning with verse 13, responsively. Worship the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion.
For he has
He has established peace on your borders. He satisfies you with the finest wheat.
He sends out his command to the earth, and his word runs very swiftly.
He gives snow like wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes. He sends forth his word and melts them. He blows with wind, and the waters flow.
He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel.
He has not done so to any other nation. To them he has not revealed his judgments. Hallelujah. The second lesson is taken from the first chapter of Ephesians, beginning with the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined for us adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. And he freely bestowed on us the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all his wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven, and all things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who we were first to set our hopes on Christ, might live for praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of his promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, He gave power to become children of God who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Happy New Year, everybody. I haven't seen you all morning, so I'm telling you Happy New Year. And we welcome you to this first Sunday of a new year that we can come and worship our God. But I want to ask y'all, did you know that New Year's Day is the one holiday that is celebrated almost universally? I didn't know that. I never thought of that. It's the world's most observed holiday. And I hope that y'all begin this new year. I hope that we all begin this new year with the realization that we are the heir to the throne. Not because of anything that we have ever done, but because of what Christ has done for us on our behalf. We have the right to become a child of God, and that's something very powerful to live up to. And so I'm convinced that this can be the best year of our life, if we will simply believe. If we will simply believe that what we believe is more important than what we have or who we are. The most important thing is in our lives is not what is happening to us, but what is happening in us. There's an old story about a man. He worked for the railroad. He was working on the railroad crew and he accidentally got locked up in a refrigerator car. And didn't anybody notice it. And came the end of the day, the rest of the crew went home for the night. And when the old man realized what had happened, he began banging on the door until his fists were bleeding and his flesh was falling off. He called for help so loud and so many times that he almost ended up speechless. And panic seized his mind. And on the floor of the old boxcar, he found a broken knife. And he started carving a message in the wooden floor. And it said, "It's so cold, and my body is getting so numb. If I could just lie down and go to sleep. The next morning, the man's body was discovered when they opened that car. Every physical sign indicated that he had frozen to death. There was only one thing that puzzled those who investigated. The refrigerator unit in that old car didn't work, and the temperature didn't get below 55 degrees that night. It wasn't the outer cold that killed that man. It was his inner conviction that killed this poor man. What we believe is more important than what we have or who we are. We can be the richest man in the world, like Howard Hughes, and be a recluse hidden away in a dark and lonely room with fears that terrify us. Or we could be the most popular entertainer in the world, like Elvis Presley, and take hundreds of pills each day just to ease that inner pain in our body. We can make millions laugh, but have such an inner sadness that will pump our veins full of deadly narcotics every day. What we believe is more important. And what we believe about ourselves is going to determine our destiny. What we believe about ourselves is more important than our IQ or our talent or the color of our skin or our social standings in the community. If we believe that we are a unique creation of God, if we believe that He created us to be a winner and not a loser, we can be a blessing to ourselves and to others and to the community. I've done this a few times. Have you ever sit down? Any of you ever sit down and thought about the meaning of your life? God has blessed us so richly. But have you ever wondered if you're sharing God's gifts and God's blessings with others? Or are you just simply building an idol, a monument to yourselves that nobody else cares anything about? What we believe about ourselves is of critical importance. But so is what we believe about our neighbors and others, those sitting next to you, those that you see as you leave this place. The commandment to love your neighbor is not just a moral law, it's a psychological law. Researchers have proven that people who socially isolate themselves have more illnesses, and their death rate is 2 to 3 times higher than people who love their neighbors. It seems like that down deep inside, ourselves respond positively when we love. Love appears to have healthy reactions. Reactions like a young mother and a father as they look at their sleeping child and they cry with tears of joy at an experience that is so awesome. There are no words in this world to explain how it happened. Like when I entered the door of my home and know that in that place I am loved and I am accepted just as I am. What happens to me and you, no matter what the tragedy or the heartache or the threat, we are not alone in this universe. Close relationships allow us to be more confident, more in control, and knowing that we have people that we can turn to in times of need. But without any doubt, the most important key to a great new year and a great new life is what we believe about Jesus Christ. I don't know if any of you do. Do any of you remember a story? It's called The Giving Tree, written about 1964. And it's a story about a tree that loved a little boy. He loved that little boy so much that in the little boy's younger years, they played hide and seek together. In those carefree childhood boys' days, the boy ate the tree's fruits. He swang from the branches, and he slept in the shade, and the tree was so happy. As the boy grew, as all young people do, he had less time for that tree. He did return once as a young man, but he wasn't interested in swinging from the branches or playing in the shade. Now, he was interested in only one thing: money. He wanted to make some money. And the tree had a great idea. The tree told him, said, "Take my apples and sell them." And the young man did, and he became rich, and the tree was happy. And then a long time passed before the young man came again. When he did, he wasn't interested in any of the play they used to do. He wasn't interested in picking the fruit and selling it anymore. He wanted to build himself a house. And the tree cried, "Here, take my branches and build your house." And he did. And the tree was happy. Many years passed this time, and the young man was growing older, and he was tired of his surroundings, and he wanted to see the world. So he went back to his friend the tree, and he shared his wantings with the tree. And the tree said, "Cut me down. Take my large trunk and make for yourself a boat. Then you can sail away and you can see the world." And that's what he did. And the tree was happy. Well, many years passed before the man returned to see the tree. He was too tired to swing from the branches anymore, and he was too tired to pursue riches anymore. And he was too tired to build houses and to build boats. And the tree said to the old gray-headed man, "You know, I have a pretty good stump left. My friend, why don't you just sit down here and rest?" He did. And the tree was overjoyed. That little children's story speaks to me about the love that God revealed to us in Jesus Christ. How are we going to face this new year with a feeling of doom and despair, when the God who loves us so much that he is willing to give of himself and is available to heal our hurts and to help us in every step of our lives? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the absolute key to life for a new year. The awesome power of believing in yourselves, believing in that person who sits next to you, believing in the worth of others, and the most important of all, believing in Jesus Christ as our Redeemer, our friend, our Savior, and our Lord. It's not what's happening to us that matters. It's what's happening in us that counts. And I pray this morning, may God's love happen in us, in you, and in I. Amen. Now we sing the hymn of the day, "Good Christian Friend, Rejoice."
Please stand for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Joining our voices with the song of the angels, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Redeeming God, you gather together your people from the farthest parts of the earth. Protect your church from stumbling. Let it not be overcome by sorrow, division, or despair. Make us radiant with goodness, that we might live always to the praise of your glory. Lord, in your mercy. You bring together heaven and earth. All creation testifies to your splendor. Hold the ecosystems of this earth in delicate balance, from coastlands to farmlands, forests to wetlands, deserts to rainforests. Show us new ways to live in harmony with the world around us. Lord, in your mercy. You overflow with grace upon grace. Expand the imaginations of those who serve in positions of authority. Open their hearts to the needs of their nations and communities. Protect all those in harm's way and those risking danger for the sake of others. Lord, in your mercy. You bring consolation to those who weep. Embrace those who feel far off, excluded, or defeated. Accompany those living with chronic and invisible illness. Sustain the weak and weary. Refresh those who labor under the weight of pain or sickness. Lord, in your mercy. You come to us in the beauty of darkness and of light. Bring justice and reconciliation to communities divided by oppressions and misuse of power. Guide us to speak holy words of advocacy and truth. Help us to honor your image in one another. Lord, in your mercy. You turn our mourning into joy. We give thanks for those who have died in faith. With all the saints, give us our inheritance in Christ. In the fullness of time, gather us all together in your mercy. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy, come quickly to us with grace upon grace as we lift these and all our prayers to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll now take up the offering.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in your divine life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Right and salutary, that we should at all times and all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see. And so with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread. After he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. After he'd given thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This is a new covenant in my blood. It's shed for you and for all peoples for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." And now, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and help us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord's table is set. Please come. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, and the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. And now we sing our closing hymn, The First Noel.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.